Doesn't feel like it, doesn't look like it, but it is May the 1st. Happy May Day. The time is 2:07, currently overcast skies, breezy conditions in Wausau at our studios on East Wausau Avenue. I am Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up in mere moments, we will be welcoming back into studio Nancy Stensel. She gets all over the place, takes on really, really big, important, and I would say tough jobs. We're going to talk about some of the issues and maybe another hat that she's put on coming up here in just a few moments. Also coming up in hour number two of the program, I'll be joined here in studio by WSAW News Channel 7's Noah Manderfeld. Going to talk a bit about the Packers draft. Talk about, are the Packers a better football team after the 3 days of the NFL draft Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? Maybe ask about the aftermath of the Aaron Rodgers trade and a bit more as well. Noah Manderfeld from News Channel 7 coming up at 3:15. Well, hopefully you had a great weekend, but again, weather-wise, we're going to be talking at 3:06 to our meteorologist, Ray Miller, and sometimes I feel like I'm getting a little tough on Ray because every day we come in here and we're talking about temperatures that are a little bit below normal, not where we should be this time of year. Looks like things will start to warm up, look a little better by middle of the week, but at the same time, I was thinking about this. This is the fifth month of 2023. Normally, by the time we get into October, November, things start to cool down somewhat significantly from what we deal with during the summer and early fall. October 1st, 10-1. Today is 5-1. That's 5 months away. That's like 7 months of really below warm temperatures that we have to deal with here in central Wisconsin. We have to battle through this all the time. So again, it's just, I think we all need that little bit of more sunshine, a little bit more warmth, maybe a little bit of a suntan, and we'll find out exactly how warm it's going to get and how much warmer it will get with Ray Miller coming up at 3:06 today. Also, wanted to start off by, I may talk about this a little bit more later, but I want to send out a big congratulations to a former athlete that I covered for doing Wausau West hockey, Brady Cleveland. We had Brady on this program back in the fall when he was actually back in town visiting a member of the National Developmental Team, the United States National Developmental Team. It's for young players to be trained, participate in national and worldwide tournaments. In fact, Brady Cleveland, the former Wausau West hockey standout, was a member of the U18 World Championship team from the United States. The U18 is a bunch of younger players. It's just below what you have in the World Championships. And Brady Cleveland was a member of the United States team that won the gold medal yesterday at the U18 World Championships in Switzerland. So I wanted to say a big congratulations to one of our area standouts. Was very fortunate to be able to broadcast some of his games as a freshman and a sophomore, but then he was noticed by the National Developmental Squad and signed on. He's been playing around the world the last couple of years and was part of that gold medal winning team. He's going to be heading to the University of Wisconsin to continue his academic and athletic career starting this fall. So again, really terrific young man. I'm going to reach out, try to get him back on, talk about this incredible early life journey to be able to go around the world, play hockey and learn and now get set to go to the University of Wisconsin. And he's a very thoughtful young man. We'll try to get him on the program again coming up in the near future. I see working her way into the studio is Nancy Stensel. And put on your headphones. We got about a minute before we go to a break, but I'm going to give you a preview of what I'm going to be talking to you about. Number one, you continually put yourself into positions that are just hard. I got to tell you, you sent me a note. I said, what do you want to talk about? And I see what you're doing. And you're somebody that likes to climb mountains.
Literally, yes.
We're going to take a quick time. We're going to talk about some different things with Nancy Stensel coming up here on this Monday. Again, glad you could join me. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Fight to make ends meet, keeps a man up on his feet, holding down his job, trying to show he can't be bought. Who takes every kind of people to make what life's about, yeah.
Chad Holmes back with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. And very happy to welcome back into studio Nancy Stensel. Good to see you. I know you've been running around a lot. It's great to have you back here in our studio in front of the microphone.
Good to see you. Happy to be back here.
I know there's a lot of things.
We got all kinds of things we can talk
about.
But
we're talking about, and again, I think, you know, when you talk about, you know, trying to turn a congressional district, trying to stop minors who are trying to, you know, just rape the land. When you talk about all these issues, there's, and again, this weekend, I found myself thinking about the culture within our state and our country. And so much of what you have to try to battle against and fight against is there's a certain inertia within our country. For whatever reason, I was saying to you, you know, a year ago now, almost a year ago is when Roe v. Wade was overturned. And you think, boy, that's going to really, but we're just sort of sitting around waiting. Well, this election that we were very fortunate to have get a good result a month ago, which we'll talk about, hey, great. But it's like, there's so much waiting around. And I know that that's something that you don't do. You don't tend to wait around.
No.
But what about the culture, about what you have to battle against in order to get significant change that is for the betterment of our state and country?
The hard part is trying to facilitate that change, and it happens with, you know, conversations that you have with people on both sides of the aisle. Recently, I was down to Madison several days last week for lobby days, and along the lines of the Breast Cancer Coalition, you can find more common ground there on both sides of the aisle, because I think a lot of people have been affected by it. But yet, when it comes to healthcare itself, you could blindfold me and I could tell you if I was in a Republican office or a Democratic office.
How can you do that? How can you? Why do you say that?
You can sense it. You walk into the Republican offices and there's no give. There's nobody that's really sincerely listening to you.
Which makes a lot of sense because, and again, we're going to talk specific issues, but there are so many issues where you see polling, and it's not just polling, but it's talking to people where this should be done. The people believe this should be done. And yet we see, I would say, for the most part, on the conservative side of the aisle, where they just will not do it. And yet they don't get penalized because obviously I think a lot of it has to do with the lines. But at the same time, there is this big swath of this state that would just, you know, based, if you were able to, and I'm like you said, you'd be able to talk to a lot of people, you can say this was what it means for your life. They will disagree 100% with the person that they will go into the booth every 2 years and vote for. I mean, exactly. That's probably one of the biggest frustrations you must have.
It is, because you can sit down and have a solid conversation with them, a sincere conversation. They're agreeing with you on this, but then they go to the polls and they vote the other way. And the only thing I have found so far with that is, well, I can't vote Democratic. They're going to take my guns, or they believe in abortion. And I do tend to think they find those hot button issues, and no matter what else, they feel they can work through the rest. But that's how they vote.
It's almost like they look at those as permanent, in a sense, that guns are, it's a permanent issue.
Yeah.
And when you talk about, say, tax policy even you know, earn benefits. I think those are almost as though they're not, even though they have more of a day-to-day impact on people's lives, somehow the core, and I go back to culture, is with their guns.
Yep.
And with their religious beliefs.
Yeah.
Even though on a day-to-day basis, on the bottom line of what they go to their bank and see what's in their savings account or their checking account, those don't affect it the way that so many decisions are made on a daily basis, whether in our state legislature or national legislature.
Exactly. They live in poverty. They don't believe that Ron Johnson will ever tamper with their Social Security. I got to vote for him because, you know, he's Republican. He'll keep my guns. Well, I don't know. I'm Democrat, and I really have nothing against guns. I don't want your damn guns. I would probably think you should not have them in schools and, right, you know, certain places, and assault rifles we don't need.
No.
But for the most part, as long as you are okay, carry a gun.
I spent a lot of time last week talking about Ron Johnson for some reason. I just did because I just kept reading stuff about Ron and I couldn't help myself. And let's, because you mentioned Ron and about Social Security, and it's, yeah, one of the baffling aspects right now for me is when you hear him talk. So, I mean, you can just feel the vitriol coming out of his mouth when he talks about Social Security, talking about it being a legal Ponzi scheme. And then at the very end, and he did this during the campaign as well, but I want to be the one that saves it. And I'm thinking, if you think it's a legal Ponzi scheme, if you just find, you know, every time you talk about it, you can just feel the vitriol coming out of your mouth, then why do you want to save it other than just as a political stunt saying, hey, I want to save it, you know?
Right.
And save it in a way that is completely useless.
Yeah,
to people.
What is his idea of saving,
right,
it? Raising retirement
right,
to 70?
Right. You could have a system where you actually never get the benefits of what you put in over the years, but yet technically it's saved. I mean,
right,
we'll
have to do this to save it. But, you know, an easier way of doing it would be like raising the cap. I mean, if you are a millionaire,
man, so easy, huh?
You're done paying into Social Security by March. If you're a billionaire, you're done paying into Social Security in January. But yet you still have that same opportunity to collect just like the next guy.
Completely regressive. Completely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's insane. When I was talking to you, when I mentioned that you like climbing mountains, and you say that you just became the 7th congressional district chair overseeing 26 counties. You know, if it was a situation where, you know, if you walked into a situation where you're up by, say, 3 touchdowns, this is a situation where you're being asked by the coach, hey, we're down by about 17 points with about 12 minutes to go in the game. get in there and win it, because the seventh right now in recent elections has been very tough. It's been very red. Number one, why have you taken this role on?
Because I think not only myself, but the team that I've got backing me up here. My vice chair is extremely good with rural, and it's not like we're going to walk in and change anything. There are some of these counties up there that just do phenomenal work, and they're going to continue to do that work, and we're going to try our best to change all.
What's your plan? I mean, because obviously I think when you come into a situation, whatever job it may be, there's a couple of things that I imagine you want to kind of build the foundation. Mm-hmm. Because you can't build the entirety of a building in one day. You have to build that foundation and then try to work your way up. What maybe is a couple of things on the foundation that you think that could, because one thing that I think a lot of people, especially some Democrats down in Madison, Milwaukee, sometimes when they try to run up the score in very Democratic areas, that every vote in these statewide races counts. Even if, say, the 7th, for whatever reason, goes, X percentage, if you're able to close that gap the next time, ultimately try to turn it around and win. Those votes still count in these statewide races, and I think that's one reason why the Democrats have been able to win these statewide races. But what are the foundational pieces that you think could help in the process that you're trying to begin?
I'm not up there to try to overhaul everything. I'm just looking at, all the things that they do right and what they're doing right and building on them. And having the different counties touch base with each other so they can all learn from each other what does work. What works in one county might not work in another, but somebody might have not thought of something, and that would work. And it's making strides.
And so often it is about communicating, isn't it? I mean, it really is. It's if you're not there, if you're not talking, I think in a lot of respects, we overestimate what people know. That, in terms of if you have a chance for a conversation, you're able to give some information, there's so much information that people don't know, especially if they're only, again, you can talk about where they listen or where they watch or what they read. The only way to kind of change that is to provide, hopefully, more truthful information.
Yes, definitely. And several of us were talking up there, and one of them had made mention, hey, we modeled something after Marathon County, and we started a little women's group up there, and oh my gosh, did it ever take off? And we have found that here. We have a group called Women for Women, and we try to work as nonpartisan as possible, but I mean, everything's partisan. And this week we will have on the TransFam Alliance and talking about the transgendered. And I really think that, a lot of people are going to be tuning in because there's so much to learn. And if people would only learn, you're not going to be afraid.
Yeah, what is this issue? And I mean, now it's this Bud Light issue. And the way that so many people are trying to turn the simplest action that says you're fully part of our community into something bad. When you have these discussions, what is the number one thing that you're able to say, this is what you need to know just to begin this process?
Yeah, I think for most people, it's just a matter of listening to what people have to say and learning. I don't feel it should even be an issue. I mean, we walk down the street, you don't wonder who this one or that one is sleeping with. I'd be more concerned if the person is happy. You have to look at it on a personal level. Why are you concerned about it? Is it something that's going to hurt you?
It's an interesting aspect, too. I read an article this weekend about, the issue of freedom. It's been it's been thought of as a Republican issue for so many years, a conservative issue. But Democrats have an opportunity now to frame it differently because that issue, the book banning issue, so many other issues.
Yeah, where's my freedom?
Where the freedoms are being taken away, where you see, in different state legislatures, if you say the wrong thing, they're not going to let you talk. I mean, elected officials. I mean, freedom could be changing the perspective and something that Democrats, I think, need to take advantage of. Is that something that you
can
look at?
I think we are. When you look at it, I should have the freedom to read what I want to read. I should have the freedom to partner with who I want to partner with. I should have the freedom to have clean water, clean air.
which people are supporting freedom issues. And I think it's very much something that's going to continue to be, I think, a rather significant issue coming up. We're going to talk specific issues coming up. We have to take a news break, come back, have more with Nancy Stensel coming up next as we continue here on this Monday. Again, glad you could join us. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. One of our dreamers, Nancy Stensel, doing a lot of good. But the thing is, you know, I think being a dreamer is something that's so important that, you know, when it's hard, when it feels like, boy, moving that rock up that hill is so hard, to have the idea that we can
You've got to
be
have
better.
A vision. Yep.
Well, let's talk some issues. And I know you are somebody that, I mean, it's so important to talk about the mining issues because I don't think we hear about it enough. And again, when you think about why do we hear about certain issues and not certain issues? Why do you think that is?
I think if you keep stuff quiet, you can slide it under the table a whole lot easier. There's, you know, in Wausau right now, it has been just that quiet with the reef deposit. Medford area, the Bend deposit in Taylor County, that's kind of ramping up a bit with water permitting and stuff. So that's a little bit more active over there. And now we have Copperwood, which is right in the Presque Isle State Park. They want to drill.
In the park. State park.
They want to bookend the Porcupine Mountains with mines. And Copperwood on one side and reopen White Pine on the other side, which was never fully reclamated. And now we've seen the sketchings for their tailings dam, which is an earthen dam that holds all this toxic material. It tilts towards Lake Superior. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong? Okay, for people, because a lot of people, I think, in a lot of these issues don't understand properly.
Even what a tailings dam
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
Right.
Tell us what could go wrong.
A tailings dam is an earthen dam, and it holds all the toxic sludge from mining. And it's going to be there forever. And when you're looking at, even like with your climate change, you know, your heavy snows, I mean, look at how much snow they got up north. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to melt. The water's got to go somewhere. And these dams fail all the time. They really need to do a dry stacking method. But then again, that's more money out of their pocket. But if this earthen dam were to break, all the toxic sludge, which is sulfuric acid, it's heavy metals that's going to be pushed right into Lake Superior. And it will kill everything in its path.
Why is it... again, we always think that, you know, as we move on in time, that things that are commonly, in a lot of ways, agreed on. And I think in the last couple of decades, there was a feeling, hey, we're moving away from the mining culture, whether it's in West Virginia or wherever else in this country. And yet, it feels like in the last number of years, they've almost doubled down on it.
They've used the excuse for the green economy. We need this green energy. So we've got a mine now. And I'm not saying I am against mining, but show me that you can do this in a clean manner. And a clean manner would cost more money they're using it that, you know, we need all these metals for cars to move towards the electric car, this and that. And to me, I mean, I agree, we need these things to move into a green economy.
Right.
But if you can't do it in a sustainable manner, then it becomes no better than the fossil fuels we have.
It's interesting when you say, you know, talking about the materials needed. When I hear Ron Johnson, and he was talking about that again last week, you almost see it. And you're saying you were at lobbying last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it works down there. They have the, nowadays they'll send it through the computer, but they'll used to be the talking points.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting. I imagine you've been around it enough where you see those talking points where it's like there's like, a couple of people at the top and then the rest of them just lockstep behind.
Mm-hmm.
Read off the talking points when you're having these discussions. I imagine you can read it a mile away.
Oh, yeah, you can, definitely. And a lot of times when you walk in with your issues to a legislative office, I hate to say it, but many times you can tell if they're Republican or Democrat because it's like, okay, I'll take your information. I'll pass it along. And that's all you hear.
Can they understand when you're talking, like what you were just saying to me about this mining issue, do you get the sense sometimes it just flies over their head? That they don't even understand it, let alone be able to make proper decisions about
something
like
this. Well, do they care? Who's funding their campaigns?
It's such a bottom line.
Yeah, they're bought.
Exactly.
So many of them are bought.
I want to talk about this lobbying because sometimes people say lobbying, that's a dirty word, because you hear
no,
about
lobbying.
No, it's not. but a lot, a lot of people, when they hear the word lobbyist, oh, it's like... But the thing is, there are different. It's different lobbyists. I know there's the one that annoys is that somebody will serve 25 years, and the thing about it, Democrats and Republicans, they'll leave, they'll go right to a lobbying firm and then lobby their former colleagues for seven figures.
Yep.
For someone like yourself and others, it's completely.
Yeah, there's
different.
No money in it for any of us.
Really.
But I couldn't be happier doing it. Like the one day I was down there with the conservation voters, and we have a certain agenda, and it's information to take to the legislators that, hey, this is what's going on. This is what we're advocating for. We're really hoping you can help us on this. And Thursday I was down there with Wisdom. It's more of a religious-backed. We have Naomi here in Wausau. And, we talked about things like, treatment instead of prisons. I mean, the prison shouldn't be something we're making money off of and trying to keep people in for a lifetime. Help these people. So many of it is like, drug-related. So help these people. And we have a Wausau person here who works with the Poor People's Campaign, Bruce Grau, who is passionate beyond belief when it comes to health care for everybody. And he stood on the Capitol steps and gave just a knockout speech on why it is so important. And even when you get to be, my age, the retirement age, whatever, things that you really need, dental, vision, and hearing is not covered. come on. And many of our people also went to the Joint Finance Committee hearings earlier this week. And again, there was a woman there that talked about how her and her husband actually got divorced so that they could get health care. Together, they made $100 a year too much. And she stood for 5 hours with a walker in order to talk for 3 minutes. And doing this, all she saw was Mary Felskowski sitting there, Senator Mary Felskowski sitting there flipping through her cell phone. Nobody was really listening to her.
It's hard to respond to that because when somebody...
My tax dollars are paying
that's
for
the thing.
You.
I'm talking, that's what I was just thinking. I was thinking, what is the absolute minimum that somebody that is being paid by the taxpayers who has been voted to represent all of us? Not just the people that voted for her. And there's a sense, and again, I think we've talked about this in the past, going back, the words of our now state senator about basically, I'm just going to serve the people that believe like I do. That's not the way the system works.
No.
And when you see somebody sitting up there flipping through the phone, showing no concern for somebody that's talking about getting divorced because of health care, that's the party of the family, right? I mean, really?
Right. Exactly.
It doesn't make you angry.
Very angry. Very angry. because a lot of, you know, the people that I know that went up there, they went there, got up at 5 o'clock in the morning to drive up to Minocqua, mm-hmm. stood in line so that they could register, stood in line some more, and then stood in line so they could speak.
And again, making it hard. I mean, you know, you notice where they put these meetings too. They make it as hard as possible,
right.
because they don't care what the people think.
What do people do that have a hard time traveling? You know, it's...
Well, it's the same issue as along with voting as well. They don't want to make it easy. They want to make it hard. They want to make every aspect of our democracy hard, which is a disgrace.
I talked about, you know, like transportation too, as far as like bus services and trying to get better bus services to serve people that, mm-hmm. that can't. I had a legislator tell me that, well, some of these people, the bus ain't going to help them. They can't even walk to the bus stop. Okay, then let's do something about that.
I mean, it's scary because a lot of us, like you get there and you're able to hear that because you're on the ground. And I think that people just don't realize sometimes that there's that thought process. And unfortunately, they don't seem to, you know, vote that says, because I like to tell people, you know, the people that, you know, are driving around with their Trump flags. If you showed up at Mar-a-Lago, he wouldn't want to talk to you.
No.
I mean, that's the thing about it.
He doesn't care about you.
No, and that's the thing. They don't get it, and it's very difficult to discuss. I'm getting off on tangents, and I don't like doing that. You know, I hear those stories, and it just annoys me.
You and I need an all-day program.
I got this sweater on. I'm starting to sweat because I'm just upset about hearing about somebody that literally goes down there and spends hours and hours and hours just to have those 3 minutes, and then to have Mary Felskowski, who's, it's not the first time we've heard stories along that line, mm-hmm. where the caring yeah. doesn't show up. Conservation portion, you yeah. talked about a day of that. What were you talking about there? What are the points that you're trying to get across when you talk to the elected
officials? climate change, especially, and how it's harming our, you know, our wild rice fields, the Manuman, where the water temperature is increasing, therefore creating pests that are in the water that are harming the rice. We've talked about lead abatement. But just getting information to legislators on that.
Real quickly, this came to my mind when you talked to, you know, were you talking to the leadership or just rank and file legislators, our area legislators?
Pretty much what you do is you go to the ones that are in your area, you know, your assembly person, your senator.
The thing about it that kind of always concerns me is, and I read a story again this weekend about if you take a step that's just outside the straight line of your party, especially on the Republican side, they come down hard on you. How much leeway do some of these folks that you talk to have to make something happen for the people in their districts, not listening to Robin Voss or Lemahue on the Senate side?
Well, I think a lot of them fear that if they don't go lockstep with their party, that, you know, they're not going to be reelected. And that's probably the bottom line to all of it. They're told how they do things.
Also, you talked about being in Madison Breast Cancer Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain...
And there is a chance of... Well, hopefully a chance of working across the aisle, because what we were working on is a bill where you go for a mammogram, and if you have dense breast tissue, a lot of times tumors don't show.
Mm-hmm.
And these people will need ultrasound to show. And we did have a Republican senator that actually authored that bill, and we had a Republican that did co-sign onto that bill. But where I fear is anytime it becomes mandates for insurance companies, then is dead in the water. We're talking women's lives.
I saw a story over the weekend on NPR's website. I want to talk to you about it. It's about healthcare and insurance coverage. We have to take a 2-minute break. We're going to come right back. A few more minutes talking to Nancy Stensel again. There's so many different aspects that, like you say, basics that can save lives.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the big cost, the big picture cost-wise.
Catch it early, it's
exactly. Exactly. it's so cheaper. We're going to discuss that coming up.
along with Nancy Stenzel. I'm Chad Holmes. More to come here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. A few more minutes with Nancy Stenzel. What I wanted to talk to you about this insurance issue is I saw a story, I think it was in Florida. Of course, it probably was in Florida. Because yeah,
of
we always,
course.
Exactly. But there was a woman who was pregnant with twins, and there was an issue. And she was went to the hospital, was told that there's some sort of issue that would kill both babies and could kill her. And was told to go to this specialist. Goes to the specialist, had to have a surgical procedure and some follow-up as well. But the thing was, because of this, you know, this private operation, this specialist, she had to pay $15,000 up front before they would do the life-saving surgery. So she had to get on the phone, call her mother, try to get this money, ultimately, because this group was not part of some, this was an out of group. It was just nuts. This country, in terms of how we have to deal with insurance issues, is a whole different operation.
You shouldn't have to die.
Yeah, with the connection of healthcare and insurance and the idea that you have to go through these hoops, over these hurdles to do anything in a life-threatening situation.
Exactly, yeah. Take abortion for instance, what you just said, a medical procedure that would like save the life of the mother. You've got doctors that are fearful to even attempt anything.
It's something we were just talking about off the air. The folks that say, well, that doesn't really happen. How often does that really happen? Because they don't put themselves in the shoes of somebody else. It doesn't have to happen a lot.
It happens every day.
Yes, but the thing about it is, if there's only one, that should be enough where that woman should be able to make her own decision, right? I mean, there shouldn't be a numbers thing where, well, if it's this number, then it's okay. No, that's not the way it works, right. Bottom line.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And it's, you know, you look at any of it, to me, it is none of my business.
Freedom again.
Right. What you do. What we were talking off the air too, I would rather see that you have the opportunity that you can access it. That's the main thing.
And the freedom to access it. And there are states now that are looking at trying to penalize people that even leave their states to get health care.
Right.
I mean, this is not stopping unless we do
this
something.
This is getting worse. And yeah.
If people just sit back and wait and hope something happens, it's going to go a long way down this floor.
They want to take
anybody who thought, well, once they overturned Roe v. Wade, that was going to be the end of it.
No, this is nothing but power and control. You can see it just going right down the line. And why do you feel you need to control me?
Isn't that the bottom line?
Yeah.
I mean, control.
Right.
I mean, that word.
I've lost my freedom. Yeah.
Control.
Yeah.
What else were you talking about last week?
Anything else that we haven't touched on yet?
Oh, gosh.
I know there's other things. I know. I just, sometimes my, I'm Mr. Tangent. I just jump off on tangents all the time.
Oh, but, I can't think of what else did I do. Last week was really an intense week for a lot of us. Yeah. All the lobby days and, yeah.
Did we talk about the Pelican River Forest on the air? I don't think we did.
No, I don't think we did.
We're talking off.
Yeah. And that again, Senator Mary Falskowski had kind of helped with that. She didn't help to get it, that's for sure. But it was so much money.
What is the issue for folks who may not
okay.
be familiar?
It the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, where they could have set aside this property for everybody to enjoy. I think there are ways around it because there are, like, there was a town of Monaco who, you know, doesn't feel they're getting enough money per acreage for property that just sits. And if they can't build up, you know, their town, you know, what do they have for a town? Well, that is a separate issue that needs to be discussed. Maybe the state of Wisconsin needs to give them more money per acre or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But just to say no, blanket no to the whole thing. And to actually hear a county board supervisor up there make the remark, we are not going to let those commies from Madison come in here and tell us what we can do with our land. And this is land that could have been set aside for everybody. Do we want to develop every square inch of land in this state? Pretty soon there's just nothing, no natural areas left?
I think... You don't even have to answer that question.
Right? Right.
And everything should not be about, you know, something that's been bothering me as well is so many aspects of life come down to Wall Street speculators.
Dollars and cents.
About,
yeah.
you know, getting a profit for the stockholders. I mean, instead of doing the right thing for the people.
It's almost like all the issues I work on. I look, follow the money. All of the money, you'll get the answer.
And there's so, and also something about money. It seems as though the more money is involved, you would think, hey, there's more money, you got more profits. The more money is involved, the more issues that get more involved. It doesn't get better when there's more money involved. It gets a lot tougher and a lot worse.
It does.
I mean, it's like, it really is. It's amazing.
It's all control. And there again, we were talking about freedom. You're taking away my freedom. People worry about Russia taking away your freedom or China taking away your freedom. Just stay here for a while.
I know. And I think to wrap it up, something that I think that you always talk about and you've mentioned about, I think I said this off the air as well, talking about you can't get tired.
You
can't get tired. You have to keep fighting because, as I said to you, I said, the other side is always ready to pounce.
Yep.
And they do it really, really well. And that's, and I say that grudgingly because it seems as though when they get the opportunity, and I go back to when Scott Walker got in, they were ready.
Yes, they were.
Once they got control of the state government, they started passing big items they weren't talking about until they decided to do it.
Yep. They've got a plan. They've got an agenda.
There are things we haven't heard about that are going to be coming down the pike if we have a bad cycle in 2024.
Definitely. Yeah. We've got to work as hard as we can in 2024, before 2024.
Right.
To get this because we're going to lose a lot more of our freedoms if we don't.
I'm looking forward to seeing how you do in the 7th.
I am too.
But it's an exciting project, and I think it's an important project.
Yes.
And that I'm really looking forward to.
We do have one candidate so far who has stepped up, and he's phenomenal.
Would you like to share his name?
His name is Kyle Kilborn.
And where's he from?
He is not originally from Wisconsin. I think he said he was born in Minnesota, but he lives in the Rhinelander area, so he's solid right up north. And
that's apparently in Wisconsin, being born in Minnesota is not an issue because that's where Ron Johnson was born.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But
I think you're going to hear a lot more of him coming up, and he's great.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.